Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
It is the coolest thing ever. I think the price point is $500. Does that sound correct?
That is correct.
I think my son needs one of these. What kind of dad would I be if I didn't get him this?
Right. I know a couple people who would love to share the passenger seat with him too.
Has all
not including sound. Myself. The two of us.
Driving down the school hallway, won't that be a thing? Deanna won't be embarrassed at all.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Dan Z, enjoying a warm cup of coffee in my black Lucasfilm coffee mug emblazoned with the company logo in silver. And I want to thank all the new members of our CWK family for joining us, as well as welcome back each one of you who join me for a cup of coffee each and every week. On today's show, we have plenty of Star Wars discussion and analysis, including what's going on with Star Wars collectibles, as well as what we hope to see on Force Friday 2. CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, we will discuss a recent blog by CWK's Mike Audette, looking at how we consume Star Wars as fans and on social media. One thing I didn't bring up on any of our shows over the past few weeks is the Dave Filoni pick and tweet of Ahsoka and Kanan having a conversation, which clearly indicates that they have a history as far as they know one another. And I'll just read sort of the transcript and what Dave wrote on the tweet. He said, "Happy Friday, everyone. Since you seem to enjoy these drawings I've been doing, here is another tale left untold, till now, that is. If you ever wondered if Kanan and Ahsoka knew each other or had met while they were younglings at the Jedi Temple, the answer is yes," and he puts yes in all caps. Back to his tweet. "They had met, though they did not know each other well, they had at least done some saber training together. Years later, when she met Kanan, Ahsoka needed to see how prepared he was for the conflict ahead. Here is a small piece of that scene, and perhaps a realization that in many ways, Ahsoka was a mentor to Kanan. And this is Ahsoka. Even at a young age, you were gifted with a lightsaber. Without training and discipline, those skills fade." And Kanan replies, "So it seems." And parenthetically, it says, Kanan gets up again. He's a bit dispirited. Kanan continues to say, "I haven't had to fight with my lightsaber very often. For a while, I chose not to. I was..." Parenthetically, Kanan struggles with the moment. Ahsoka helps. Ahsoka replies, "You're afraid to use it. I understand." Kanan appreciates her words. Kanan says, "I've been teaching Ezra as best I can. I want him to be the Jedi I'm not, that I couldn't be." And Ahsoka says, "And I want you to be the Jedi that you are." What I love about this is that it's not like it gives away any sort of spoilers or revelations about Ahsoka and what has happened to her, but it does show the connectivity of the Star Wars universe and what the story group does to bring this franchise continually to life and to make it like a four-dimensional mythology, which I definitely appreciate. And it only makes sense that these two would know one another. I will say I really like that Ahsoka mentions how gifted Kanan is with the lightsaber. I always love Kanan very, very high in my Star Wars fandom because of how great Freddie Prinze Jr. has been to our show. But I really thought it was important to at least bring this up because I think there's some interesting Star Wars to ingest here with what Dave reveals. And we know that Dave has a lot of fun with his place in Lucasfilm and as a Star Wars fan and what he brings to fandom and likes to tantalize us, which I definitely appreciate. Joining me today for a cup of coffee is the host of the Steel Wars podcast, Steel Saunders.
Hey, guys. It's thrilling to be on Coffee with Kenobi. It's weird to listen when you've listened to a show for so long. It's weird to have it talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like
I've reached like the pinnacle level of Patreon commitment where the podcast is just for me now and I get to talk back. So, yeah, thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, pleasure. It's great. We're big fans of yours and it's been long overdue to have you on for a cup of coffee. So we're thrilled to have you. Also joining me today. Go ahead.
I don't want to brag, but I did prepare with about 18 cups of coffee today. But I should preface before you get blushing that I have been preparing for the past 20 years with that preparation. So I've been harvesting this coffee addiction over many decades, and I'm really happy with how it's going.
Beautiful.
So
yeah,
I feel like this is a perfect podcast for me.
I think so. I think you are well honed and prepared for the experience. Speaking of prepare for the experience, also joining us is the co-host of Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, as well as the co-host of Comics with Kenobi, and of course, a CWK blogger, Jeff McGee.
Yeah, speaking of prepared, the one guy who is never prepared. Hey, Dan. Hey, Steele. How's it going?
It's going great.
It's
at least
real good.
You can fake it, so that's all that really matters.
This is true. That's how I get through my life. That's just right. Faking it till I make it.
All right, this is Let's Talk Porgs. That's quite a transition, isn't it? They are everywhere. They are especially, of course, on social media. All we have is one image from that tease that they showed at D23. What are you two thinking about Porgs these days? This is not, by the way, the main topic by any stretch of the imagination, but there's just something I have to get off
my
chest.
Why
about
not?
These things.
Why isn't it the main topic? It seems to be like the main topic on Twitter at the moment. So
now, what do you think about that?
Give the people what they want. Pog, pog, pog. I'm an Ewok guy. Do you know what I mean? I'm up for cute things. Like, I'm a sort of this big hulking idiot from Australia, but I've got such a penchant for little cute things. I'm a big collector of the Hallmark itty bitty little teddy bears, which is always fun at San Diego Comic-Con, where I'm in this line with mostly mothers and their daughters, and then me waiting to get our little teddy bears. So I am swept up in and applaud Porg fever. I cannot wait to argue with a 12-year-old girl on Force Friday night if that Porg is mine or hers. I am up. So I'm going to be training all month doing weights, and I'm going to take that fictional hypothetical girl down. That Porg is mine, woman.
Sort of like training for Ninja Warrior, but it'll be Porg Warrior. I like it.
Yes.
Jeff, what about you?
Porg crybaby.
I think they're kind of cute, but I don't think I put as much thought into it as Steel has. No, these things are adorable. They're like the baby seals of the Star Wars universe. And I certainly understand all of the furor surrounding them. And I, like you, Steel, I'm an Ewok guy. I've never understood the hate that the Ewoks get. And I think that what I'm really hoping is that these things turn out to be like the heroes that save the day. Just like the Ewoks. I hope that we find out that they're force sensitive and they wield lightsabers.
Oh boy. I hope they're not force sensitive. That would be too much like the Timothy Zahn novel.
Oh, the Empire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, that would be well.
That could be
whatever.
Interesting. Fine. Yeah. But yeah. Of course we don't speculate on here. But that, right. I see what you're saying.
The one thing that also sort of fans my Ewok fandom, and I've talked about this on my podcast, that in the 90s, I was at a convention and it was in Melbourne, and someone came up on the panel about Ewoks, and there was a few people at the back that booed, and it was a revelation to me that people didn't like Ewoks. Like I didn't even cross my mind that it was possible not to like them. And, you know, sometimes people get a bit wound up in Star Wars fandom about who likes what and that and the other.
Sure.
And I always say that it was a revelation to me that people didn't like Ewoks, but then I just turned back around and just went, oh, I like them. It didn't affect my like of them. And and sometimes people get a bit too caught up in what other people like that it affects them. But I love at Comic-Con, they announced that book, Chewie and the Porgs, with a delightful sort of golden book cover. And it reminded me a lot of just before Return of the Jedi came out, my mum came home and I was very young and she gave me a book called The Ewoks Join the Fight. And it was
love that book.
Yeah, it was sort of like a golden book. It wasn't a golden book, but it was in that style. And all it did was focus on the Ewok side of the end of Return of the Jedi. So it sort of was like a little, just the Ewok bit edited down into this book. And so seeing that, the Pogs and Chewie book, it kind of, it seems like it's a similar theme. And what I'm trying to say is Porg. Okay.
When I heard that title, I mean, of course, how could you not think that cover's as cute as a bug's ear? You can't resist it. But when I heard the title, it reminded me of Elton John, Benny and the Jets. So I can just hear the steel get on a cover of that, would you? I like the Porgs. I think they're engaging. I think they're charming. But I'm also not ready to create a new religion of them. It seems like there's so much going on about them. There's so much frenzy and fury, as you said, Jeff. And to me, it's just one image. I'm not ready to make that my favorite Star Wars character. And A, right on for people who like them. But I'm quite precariously close to having to being tired of Porgs. And I haven't even seen them on screen yet.
You're Porged out?
I'm Porged out. Pork malaise. That sounds like a lovely dish.
Yeah, pork malaise sounds like something Guy Fieri would make.
God, poor Dan has reached peak Porg.
That's right.
Let's just hope he doesn't start craving Porg chops.
Oh, boy. I have nothing yet. I'll think of something. I'll just edit it back in to sound super clever. That's the power of recording on this end, I guess. So they actually... Good.
I am looking forward to, we're heading towards Force Friday, and I'm expecting some great Porg merch. Like, I want... You know, we had that fur barker, the Furby thing, sort of seemed a little bit
dreadful. Yes.
Yeah, but an animatronic Porg. Like, we had the Zaffiro BB-8, and that was sort of like the hit toy of The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not sure what it is because I'm not a toy designing genius. But I think this is the time before we get hit with some amazing animatronic take home, spend a lot of money, Porg bit of merchandise. And I would like in this podcast to verbally post the meme of Fry from Futurama holding up his money saying, take all my money. So I don't care what company is doing it, but here is several hundred of my hard-earned dollars so I can play with a Porg for 45 minutes and then put it on my shelf for the next 2 years.
Well, I've got it. The people who made Teddy Ruxpin should make a Porg. I mean, that's what you do, right?
I loved Teddy Ruxpin. I so wanted one of those when I was little.
This is your chance to make up for lost time, to heal that wound that has been burning inside of you. All right, so speaking of all of these things, there's been kind of a slow build to The Last Jedi. I feel like when The Force Awakens came out, we had at least had more than one trailer. There was more information coming out. Of course, we had that wonderful cast photo when they announced everybody that was in the cast at once. And now I feel like we've got a really, really slow burn to The Last Jedi. And all we know so far is, again, what we saw at D23. We saw that beautiful image of the TIE Silencer, Kylo Ren's TIE, that they announced on the Star Wars show a few weeks ago. A few images here and there. But how is the build to this sitting for the two of you?
You know, it didn't even dawn on me that, because I see so much on my Facebook and Twitter feed, it hasn't dawned on me that we haven't gotten another trailer yet until you just said it. But, you know, we got the behind the scenes reel at Comic-Con, right? Or was that at D23?
At D23.
Right, at D23. But at Comic-Con, I was really expecting a trailer to be debuted, and I was surprised that it wasn't. So we're now, what, 4 months out from it opening?
Yeah.
Yeah, just over 4 months out, and we haven't had a true trailer. We just had a teaser and some behind the scenes stuff. So I'm wondering when that's going to come.
Well, the advantage I think to this is that it's almost like when Jim Hill said on our show last week, they don't really need to advertise this thing. I mean, they would make probably as much money whether they release a trailer or not. I mean, I guess that's probably arguable. But I think there's so much there that they can afford to kind of hold back. And as I've said many times, the anticipation is often more exciting to me than the moment itself. So I'm enjoying this. But in that same breath, it would be nice to see something. Hopefully, when Force Friday 2 rolls around, which we have been discussing, hopefully by then we'll have some sort of a trailer. And wouldn't that be wonderful to see a trailer before Force Friday 2, and then we have these fresh images in our minds that we know what kind of collectibles we want to go after because of what we've just seen?
I would hope that we would get something by then, correct?
It would, you know, if you were planning basic corporate synergy, you would think that's the time to put out the trailer. Right. It's just before you're about to drop this huge slew of merchandise to sort of ramp up people's expectations and hopes for the film. With the way they did the convention rollout this year, I was a little bit disappointed. I was at D23. I had a great time, but I didn't really enjoy having Star Wars crammed into that 2-hour presentation with Mary Poppins and all the Disney franchises. I like many people came out of that presentation going, "Oh my God, Infinity War is going to be amazing," because they showed this secret trailer, and that's great. But I'm a hardcore Star Wars guy, and I want to come out thinking, "Oh my God, The Last Jedi," and it was a bit upsetting that they sacrificed not having a panel at Comic-Con, because the lineup for the panel for The Force Awakens, you know, we did the camp out outside thing, and I sort of started that day camping out the night before with very few American Star Wars friends, and in 24 hours' time, I had about a dozen of some of the best friends that I have now that I hang out with all the time. And that whole experience of the camp out, which sort of sounds horrible, but at San Diego Comic-Con, they've got this beautiful grass. It's all tented. I loved life in the line. And it was a shame that we didn't get to have that experience again. And just I sort of always take these snapshots of great moments in my life that, you know, when you're on if you've got an iPhone, you push those two buttons and it takes a frame grab of your screen. Sure. And I remember just before the panel was going to start for The Force Awakens, we camped out. We had no idea who was going to be on the panel. We knew it was Kathleen Kennedy and JJ and Lawrence Kasdan, but we had no idea of any cast. And, you know, Harrison Ford hadn't done any promotion up until then. And, you know, we didn't really know whether how involved he would be in the promotion of the film. And I remember just before it was going to start, 7,000 people in this room, we had sat through a day of panels that many of us did not want to see, but we were dedicated fans. It was, for some people, a 48-hour experience. And the energy and the electricity in that room just before, we knew Star Wars history was about to be made. And I remember standing there and looking around and just going, yep, snapshot. This is the best. And the panel just delivered. Of course, afterwards, they had the concert. They sprung on us, and it was unbelievably good. And, you know, I wouldn't be hoping for something like that. But just to not have that experience this year was a little bit of a shame. You know, I love Star Wars so much, and I don't think it should be sitting in this kind of corporate presentation at D23. I like the unbridled fandom of San Diego Comic-Con. And the presentation was great, but at the end, I did kind of feel like I'd be offered discount shares in the Disney Corporation.
Sure.
It was just a little bit weird. And, you know, I think the Star Wars portion only went for maybe 15 minutes at most. It was quite, you know, sort of token. So it's a shame. I think in the end they're going to show the trailer, you know, like when they did for The Force Awakens as part of, you know, Monday Night Football or something like that, which is, you know, it's not really the realm for it in my view. But I, you know, it is the one time of year I watch sport for 5 minutes. Sure. So that's exciting.
You're right. And football gets more ratings than anything. So that's
exactly. And they know they're going to sell tickets to us. This is right. That's a venue for them to sell tickets to people who might not ordinarily remember. Oh, yeah, there's another Star Wars movie coming out.
Exactly. I want to wrap up this segment real quick. But before I do, I just want to point out to our CWK family members who are listening who maybe did not know this, Steele got to interview Daisy Ridley at Celebration Orlando. I mean, can we just stop now? I mean, what's better than that? Tell us about that, if you would.
Well, I was there doing some work for a morning television show in Australia, and I always try to parlay whenever there's anything that I can get Star Wars onto the show. I'm always pitching that and also saying, and you know, I can do it. And through that, I have gotten to interview like Harrison Ford and at Celebration straight after the panel where they showed the teaser for The Last Jedi, I did get to interview most of the cast and Kathleen Kennedy and Rian Johnson. And I have to say, I think The Last Jedi could be the best Star Wars film ever made. I have so much faith in Rian. Rian Johnson's just a Star Wars fan that is very good at being a Star Wars fan. He gets it. But Daisy Ridley, there is, you know, you watch back, these things happen in, you know, like a flash. But then when you get the recording and stuff, you watch back. And I have to say, like, as a comedian and a Star Wars fan, making Daisy Ridley giggle and smile, like, that giggle and smile is just so golden. And the fact that for a few seconds I was the cause of generating it, I may have taken a little snapshot that second as well. That's so cool, it was tremendous. And people, yeah, it's on the my YouTube channel, which is just Steel Wars. But she's just delightful. She's just so like lovable and just so kind and friendly and funny. I we couldn't ask for a better lead in a Star Wars film than Daisy Ridley, I don't think.
Yes, well,
so I agree.
Well, that's Jeff and I talk often about how Star Wars and collectibles it's about memories more than it is items, and that is a perfect segue because up next we will talk some Star Wars collectibles with Steele and Jeff. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. I want to thank our CWK family members like Tyler Wiggins, Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Jim Capron, Connie Shee, Mediocre Jedi, Crystal Hating, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Swara Sala. Patreon is a monthly donation that you give, and it helps our show in so many ways with our many expenses that we have, including our RSS feed, which is the file that you have to send to different podcast catchers, hosting our webpage, or monthly fees for that, as well as microphones, upkeep of the equipment and computers and cables, the travel that we may do, including airlines, hotels, food, and transportation. There's a lot that goes into bringing Coffee with Kenobi to you and trying to make it the very best that it can be.
And there are a number of incentives that do it too, starting anywhere from a dollar and on up the line. And you, when you start out, get a recognition at the start of each show and get a follow from CWK via Twitter. There are Google Hangouts. You can get coffee mugs, t-shirts, and may possibly get a chance to co-host one, two, or even a month of shows with me here on Coffee with Kenobi. So that means any guests that we may talk to, you'll have input in the discussion topics, and you'll get some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's a great way to get involved with Coffee with Kenobi, and if there's a part of you that has always wanted to try podcasting or maybe kind of get into that field and see what it's like, I know that when I was first on the IndieCast with Ed Dalista years ago, I got the bug, and I just feel like my life has changed so much since I've been able to podcast. So if you is something you're interested in, please check out the links on our webpage or the show notes for more information. We are back, and this is a great time to talk about Star Wars collectibles because, as we've been mentioning at the top of the show, Force Friday 2 will be here on September 1st, so it's a little less than a month away. And I definitely know about Jeff and collecting. We've been friends for a while. I've been talking Star Wars collecting for a long time. Steele, what kind of collector are you, and what are you out there looking for these days?
My collectibles, when Hasbro started back up with the Power of the Force 2, sure. I was totally on board, and I was, you know, getting everything. And then about Attack of the Clones, I sort of just lost my passion for it. The figures sort of weren't clicking with me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I totally got out of Hasbro. And I went back to collecting all the vintage stuff that I had grown up with when I was little. And, you know, we weren't like super rich. We weren't poor, but we weren't super rich. So I never had any of the ships or the play sets. So it was kind of thrilling to get like the Death Star play set and the Millennium Falcon and work out, you know, all the things that it had and the AT-AT and the shuttle and stuff like that. So I've sort of completed pretty much most of my vintage collection. It's all loose. I like having it loose with the weapons. And I've just moved from Melbourne to Australia. So I had to choose very carefully what things would make it over. So I brought my collection of Kenner action figures, the full, I think it's like 96 plus a few variants and stuff. And as far as current things, I always like to get the San Diego Comic-Con preview figure. So I've got the First Order Stormtrooper, the Jyn Erso, and the Luke and Rey that just dropped. So I like having them as sort of, you know, how you were saying, you know, collecting memories. This is sort of like a collectible that reflects on the memory. So I always remember, you know, the Force Awakens trooper that was, you know, the camp out and meeting all my sort of new friends and stuff like that. I also am very partial to the SH Figure Arts figures from Japan, which are sort of like a more highly detailed Black Series figure, like a 6-inch. And they're just, you know, they have all hands to swap out and the likenesses are incredible. And then, as I was saying before, I'm a big collector of the Hallmark itty bitties. I like all the little squashed down teddy bears and stuff like that. So, sure. And then I kind of just get odds and ends that strike me. And I'm a little bit OCD, so I can't get multiple. So I've got the Lego sail barge and skiff because it's like my favorite scene in all of Star Wars. But I can't get anything else Lego because that means I've got a collection of it and then I might need to buy more. So I'm pretty restrained with my collecting because they don't sort of the two lines that are still in production, the Figure Arts and the Hallmark, they don't sort of drop stuff that often. I also get the occasional Ben Mendelsohn, or as we call him, Mendo, Krennic figures, because he's an Australian guy that I've sort of had a bit of interaction with and stuff. So if I got a 12-inch Disney figure that was on sale for like $9.06 at a Disney store in America. So I've got that standing on my desk in front of me. And in Mexico, this is an interesting collectible, guys. I got a packet of chocolate Hershey's milk with Director Krennic beautifully painted on the side of it. Nice. So it's I've never seen this Rogue One chocolate milk before, but I was in Mexico last year and I saw it with Mendo on the side, and I was like, that's such a weird, funny thing that I'm like, yeah, I'm bringing it. And it's still got the milk in there, you guys. So oh, it's yeah. sealed. I've got sealed milk. What could go wrong?
My.
What could go wrong?
No, absolutely
five,
not. I can't think of anything.
$5 if you drink it. $5 if you drink it.
It would cost more than that for the hospital bill, probably.
Yeah, maybe five Bitcoin, and I'll think about it.
Jeff, where are you at in your collectibles right now?
The last collectibles I bought, I would say we're at Celebration, but I did get the pop vinyl, the Funko Pop set of the Cantina Aliens, Greedo, Snaggletooth, Greedo, Walrus Man, and Hammerhead. I did manage to find that a month or so ago at Walmart. I am, quickly running out of space in my apartment to display things. Mm-hmm. So I have a friend named Carlos who has a rule that anytime he buys something, he has to get rid of something.
Mm.
So his like collection that. is at capacity. So if he wants something, he has to figure out what he wants to get rid of, which is a good good policy because it makes him really, really think about whether or not he really, really wants something.
Yeah, that's good. I went to a cabinet situation. I had stuff boxed up like many Star Wars fans do. And I decided that I wasn't really enjoying it. So I got a cabinet back in Australia. Now I've got a cabinet here. And I was like, I'm going to put all my stuff in the cabinet. And then I've got some shelves above my desk. And for the foreseeable future, that's the most amount of Star Wars stuff I'm going to display. And so I'll get rid of all the extra stuff. And then having it all out, when you go to buy stuff, it really does lessen or make your purchases a lot more astute.
Absolutely.
Because it has to go on the shelf or in the cabinet. And you sort of choose stuff a lot more wisely.
It's true. And we have it where I live. I'd say a few months ago, I probably got rid of not a fourth of my collection, but darn near close to that, because I was looking through things in boxes, as you were mentioning, and I thought, do I want to display this right now today? Do I want to go down to my studio and put it up? And if the answer was no, I thought, well, why do I have it? Why should I keep it up in a box in my attic? So now, as you mentioned some of the Kenner things, and I'm sure Jeff is in the exact same boat, I'm just looking around at the things you're mentioning, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm glad I have these things. These are the memories. These are the things I recall, like the Death Star playset from Kenner, my favorite playset, maybe my favorite toy ever. I just remember getting that from Santa and just thinking that I had reached Nirvana. This was it. This was the thing, along with getting the Falcon. Those are the memories that last, which is why I'm not necessarily disappointed about the state of collecting right now, because certainly the Funko Pops have been a lot of fun and given me a run for my money, and just the little odds and ends. I still very much, like you, Steele, when the Attack of the Clones figures came out, even though I was still very much a Star Wars fan, I only bought a handful of those, and I just thought, they're just not putting much into these anymore. It just doesn't seem like there's much imagination that go into these. And then once they got back into Revenge of the Sith and on, I think they've been really strong. I love the Rogue One figures. There's still a few I can't seem to find anywhere, but that's part of the fun. And I feel like it's going to be much harder now, because when Force Friday comes out, I'm sure the Rogue One stuff, what little there is going to be long gone. And I don't know about both of you, but the Walmart and the places that I go and shop, there is nothing. I mean, there's been a Rebels Princess Leia figure there, the same one, for probably 3 or 4 months, just sitting on that peg.
When I bought the three pack of the Pops, yeah, that was the first time I had been down a Walmart toy aisle in months for that very reason. Every time I go down, you're seeing the same thing over and over again. I don't know if they're not getting shipments or what. I hear people having better luck with Toys R Us around me, but I just don't ever go in anymore, because again, I'm just tired of seeing the same things over and over again.
Well, and those 40th anniversary figures, I never see them where I am. I saw a few of the Death Star Commanders, and I saw Leia one time, but that's all I ever see.
I don't think I've ever seen them in a mass market store. Like, I've seen them in like comic book shops and collector stores, but sure. I don't think I've seen them. And like, whilst I don't collect the modern stuff, I do always, I couldn't even imagine, I couldn't fathom going into a Target and not going to the toy aisle and checking out. Like, I like reading the backs of them, and I just like checking it all out and stuff, like having sort of freeloading off everyone else, I guess. But yeah, it just seems it's like the same bleak amounts. I don't know. It just seems I've got like a bit of a history in like retail and shops and stuff. And it just doesn't seem like they refill. Like, it doesn't seem like they reorder like high selling items. Like, they get that burst because that's one thing is to sell that initial burst, but where stores make their money is selling the same thing over and over.
Right.
And it just doesn't seem like that's how the system like works with like toys going into these big box stores.
Well, and it can't be because of a lack of marketing, because I know personally that Target did a great job advertising for Rogue Friday. I mean, there were some great commercials about that, weren't there?
Right.
That was one very handsome good teacher on that commercial, I gotta tell you what. So what are you guys hoping to find on Force Friday 2? We know Porgs are definitely in play. I can't imagine it'll be much, but I guess it's hard to say. What are you all hoping to run into?
You know, I've purposely been keeping myself at arm's length from a lot of this because
same. I know there's leaks out there. I have not seen any of them because I don't want to know.
Well, much like Steel, I have a problem with sort of OCD and wanting everything that I see. So it's more self-preservation than anything.
Yeah.
But I have seen the package art for The Last Jedi, and I did hear something about how a lot of them are just repaints of the figures that we got for The Force Awakens. But I am looking forward to getting a new Luke Skywalker figure, an older Luke Skywalker figure.
Yes. Yes.
And that and some of the smaller vehicles are what I've really been drawn to the last few rounds of toy releases. And then, of course, you know, if there's a stuffed Porg, I'll have to get a stuffed Porg as well.
I still can't hear that sentence without laughing. A stuffed right. Porg. Think about that. I love those Hot Wheels vehicles. You know, they're really small. They're bigger than Micro Machines, but they're not that big. I've got quite a few of those in my office. I think those are beautiful. I hope to see a lot of those. I definitely want to get a Luke figure and, of course, a Rey in her Last Jedi outfit. Other than that, I'm sort of hoping to see another Millennium Falcon released. That may not happen until the untitled Han Solo film, but I don't know. What about you, Steel?
I'll be going pretty light. I'll be looking for the Porg. I'll just be wanting not like an action figure Porg, but I would like a sort of centerpiece. Either a stuffed Porg, an animatronic Porg, some
maybe
form
a hat.
Of Porg.
Yeah.
And I've got my Luke Skywalker. I'm a huge Luke Skywalker guy. And so I've got the one from San Diego Comic-Con. So I'm so happy that he's available and in both sizes and stuff, or he will be. So that's going to be super cool. But the Luke Skywalker I want, guys, is one I fear they might not make, it's my biggest concern in Star Wars. I want Luke Skywalker with his green lightsaber so it sure. indicates to me that he uses it in a film. That's and so whilst I don't collect the modern figures, if they bring out that figure, meaning that that's what happens in an upcoming Star Wars film, I will buy it because that to me is it's just the one thing I want to happen in Star Wars. Like, you can do whatever you want with it. You can have, you know, Dexter Jetster traveling through time solving mysteries. I don't care. I just want to see him turn on that lightsaber one more time and save all his friends, because that to me is what Star Wars is about. So I want it to happen one more time.
Absolutely. Very good. And of course, in Porg slippers, if they make Porg slippers, that would be fun.
Oh, yes.
So, there you go. Hasbro and Disney, are you listening? We've got a lot of good ideas for you. So speaking of good ideas, I think it's a good idea to wrap this one up. And when we return, Tom will be back to do the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/StarWars for sample clips and to start listening now. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Tom is here with us to share the latest in the Star Wars world of news and collectibles. And Tom, what do you have for us this week?
Well, British TV and film writer Jack Thorne is coming on board to work on the script for the Star Wars Episode 9 film. Director Colin Trevorrow and his co-writing partner Derek Connolly have been working on the script to this point, and according to an article from The Hollywood Reporter, they need a fresh set of eyes for rewrites. Thorne has created or co-created a host of drama and thriller television programs in Britain. He has more recently done several books to screen adaptations, including His Dark Materials, adapted from the Philip Pullman fantasy book series, as well as Philip K. Dick's Electric Sheep series, and the upcoming adaptation of the New York Times best-selling children's novel Wonder by R.J. Palacio that stars Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, and Jacob Tremblay. It's not clear how much of the Episode 9 script will be written, rewritten, or edited, but the film is expected to start production in January 2018 with a scheduled release date of May 2019.
Well, and my initial thoughts on this are typically this is sort of what happens in Hollywood, and we lose sight of that. Everyone was concerned about the directorial change with the Han Solo film, but there's another film that towards the end of its production had a director change, and that was a film called Gone with the Wind. You may have heard of that. And that turned out okay, I think. So this is not something that makes me panic. The thing that makes me concerned about Episode 9, which is the thing that has always made me concerned about Episode 9, is Colin Trevorrow. I thought The Lost World was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So that makes me a little nervous about Episode 9, but I have faith in Lucasfilm, as always, in what they do, and they have spent so much money on this product that I don't think they're going to let it go awry, but I can understand people kind of being concerned or aware, I guess.
I would like to agree with Dan's thoughts about The Lost World, but in a far less level tone of voice.
Good, go for it.
I had to my wife had to
I like this already.
She had to tell me that I wasn't allowed to boo at the end of the film.
We're gonna be best friends. I like this.
Because it was just, you know, he was rumored to be the director. But it wasn't announced, so I sort of went to see it like going, oh yeah, new Jurassic Park, this is going to be pretty cool. And they did that thing where, oh, we're not counting the last two sequels. So in saying that, that's sort of like saying that your story is a bit elevated than the other sequels. Exactly. So there was that one point, But then I was also watching because I was like, oh, this guy might have the keys to Star Wars in a couple of years. And the amazingly cool thing about the first Jurassic Park was this, it was this fantastic situation with this, you know, the dinosaurs and the technology, but it was very grounded and the reactions from the actors were very true to life. Like you thought that those kids were getting attacked by raptors.
Right.
And the logic in the lost, no, the Jurassic Kingdom, is that, am I saying the right thing? Jurassic World. I'm getting all these films mixed up, but the logic just was, I love logic in films so much. And the logic just wasn't there. Like the way the dinosaur escaped and the way they were ready to deal with it, it was like, you know, there was a dinosaur massacre on this island 20 years ago.
Right.
You should be a bit more prepared. And the part where they, that there was
woman, that woman was, it was just ripped apart. That was absolutely ghastly and very out of place.
Well, I didn't really have a problem with that person. I was sort of just like, whatever. But it was directly after that where the lady that was running the park, Ron Howard's daughter, what's that, Bryce
Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
So she is responsible for this massacre with all these pterodactyls and her assistants being killed. And then 5 minutes later, she's flirting with Chris Pratt. It's like, this is not how you react after a dinosaur massacre. Like, this is not how you act after a dinosaur or a massacre. This is a dinosaur massacre. This is together. So that's sort of worrying. But then there was adventure parts. Like
the massacre was the massacre of creativity and having to sit through that thing.
Like the action scenes and stuff, like separately, I was like, oh, this is very entertaining. But it was just some of the logic things. The fact that the dinosaur did the classic old Western, I will hide under the bed and then they'll open the jail cell and I'll escape that way. I was like, come on, guys, you should be watching these dinosaurs a bit more closely than this.
Yeah.
So I you know, people, you know, they're worried about the handballing of the script, but that happens so much with all these films. And to have it handballed out of Trevorrow's hands is, it does fill me with a little bit. Yeah, I feel like I can, you know, in a month's time, I can curl up with my fuzzy porg without a care in the world. And that's all I want out of life.
And rightfully so. You mentioned the audience. I don't mean to interrupt you, Jeff. You mentioned the children in the original Jurassic Park. Like, you feared for them. I mean, that scene with the T-Rex is still one of the most frightening, well-executed scenes in cinema history. And then in this new one, I wanted them to get eaten so that the movie would be over.
Eat the kids.
That's
eat
right. The kids. And I love kids. I have three of them, but that was terrible. And this, I can't even. I mean, that's about as negative as I've ever been on this entire run of Coffee with Kenobi. But anyway,
allow me to present a slightly more measured reaction.
Oh, please do. We're in trouble when Jeff McGee is the voice of reason.
Right. You, exactly. This is the problem.
This reaction has no place on the internet.
I was actually encouraged when I heard this news, because Dan, you're exactly right. This happens all the time. Every script in Hollywood gets worked on by 12 writers. We just never hear about it. I'm actually kind of surprised that we heard about this one. But my biggest problem with Jurassic World was the script or the lack thereof, yes, the story
exactly.
Or the lack thereof. I thought, you know, visually, I thought it looked great. I feel like if he's working with actors who are set in their characters like these guys are, there'll be less of an issue with him directing them incorrectly. So I feel like if he's working with a strong script, we're going to get a fun movie. So let me just say, yeah, I don't know why this got released. This news got leaked or whatever, but I don't think there's any cause for alarm.
It's probably because there's just not much to really say these days about Star Wars.
Maybe we had a trailer clickbait to dissect.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, when I was looking at this, I'm no Hollywood insider, and I don't even have that much background in like how films are made. But you know, I would assume that this is pretty common item. And boy, you know, this is episode 9. You know, this is going to wrap some things up.
Yeah.
Throw as many writers at it. Well, I guess I shouldn't go that far, but you know, let's put some people in there to look it over. And I was most encouraged by the whole idea that it's a fresh set of eyes. It's not like, boy, there was a problem, we need to get it fixed. It's no problem has been even communicated at all, even be reading between the lines and correct and collecting these stories, that it's just, hey, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it improving rather than, whoa, guys, stop. There's a problem. Let's see. Go right ahead.
It's nerve-wracking because The Force Awakens, you know, dropped all these mysteries that we hope, you know, to be solved. And I just hope at the end of this trilogy that one thing I would love is to watch that Force back in The Force Awakens and know exactly what all those things mean. And I sort of feel like the film or the trilogy made that promise to me. I'm not sure if I'm right in thinking that, but that's what I took from it, that by the end of this, I'm going to know what all those, you know, I'm going to know what, in what time frame Kylo Ren was killing that Klansman and stuff like that. So I just really hope that by the end we can watch The Force Awakens and it means sort of different stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like that those sort of mysteries are going to be solved. Like, let us not forget about this Sifo Dyas character that I know there was books about it, but I was like after Attack of the Clones, I was like, I can't wait to find out about Sifo Dyas in episode 3.
You had to wait about 15 years for the Clone Wars to tell you. Yeah. It's true.
Well, in keeping with the theme of change, let's do an update on the untitled Han Solo film. This week, director Ron Howard told The Hollywood Reporter that the untitled Han Solo movie is coming along great. Howard took over the reins in late June after Lucasfilm took then-directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller off the film project. Howard says that he's having a fantastic creative experience. While he's still feeling new to the production, he says the script is great, and he continues by saying that this is a great young cast, which we already knew, incredibly strong, funny, and smart people who love their characters and love being in this film. Now, in regards to his little production tweets, which I know we've all been enjoying, Howard mentions that he enjoys sharing those, but don't expect any story leaks, as he is aware and careful not to share even a spot of a spoiler.
See, I already like how he's handling the production of this film. I mean,
I tweeted this earlier, guys. I'm convinced that Disney has actually just decided to call it the untitled Han Solo movie and just haven't told any of us.
I like it.
True.
May as well. I think he seems to be very on it with the mystery and kind of the wink and the smile, kind of tantalizing us with nothing. But just knowing that it's out there in production, and I just have a lot of faith in what's going on with this one.
I'm convinced that we're going to have the reveal in this film that Han Solo's original name was Untitled. And this is the name of the film, but we just haven't got the double meaning. You know,
like
The Force Awakens.
Edgy.
The Force Awakens sort of meant the Force in the film and, you know, the reemergence of Star Wars. It had that double meaning. And I feel like this could be the same thing. Just give it a name. Just call it something, please. I'm so sick of the yet untitled Han Solo film.
I know.
And I if they just call it Han Solo or Solo after this whole time of calling it the yet untitled Han Solo film, no buys. Not worth the wait. I think Solo is a cool name for a film, but not after this time. I'd love it if it was like Han Solo and the
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, maybe not that one, but like an Indiana Jones style.
Yeah.
like title, and it would also, you know, also pave the way that we can have, you know, new adventures as well in the sort of naming, you know, format. But yeah, you can't just call it Solo or Hound Solo after all this time. That is, I will have my blasters set to mock if that is the case.
And the English teacher me, every time they say untitled Han Solo film and they capitalize untitled, that just drives me crazy.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because Dan, if you looked at all of my notes, I leave it all untitled lowercase u.
I'm proud of you.
You guys are nerds.
Your probation for CWK Newsman is now officially over. Good job.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, that whole thing, I totally agree with everybody, because I'm really sick of reading untitled Han Solo movie every time I do a story about it. But it takes me back to the days when we called that person, that individual, the individual formerly known as Prince.
Oh, the artist formerly known as Prince, yeah.
Oh, that's what it was, the artist.
Or when he was the symbol.
Oh my gosh, that was so irritating. But I will say, when I just keep looking at this, and I think, gosh, Ron Howard is bringing so much excitement, and I'm picturing the behind the scenes on the sets, that everybody is so pumped and excited that Ron Howard is involved in this, and just the idea that he said that he's having a fantastic creative experience, that we're going to see things that maybe we're not going to expect. I don't know. That's just me. It just has a really positive vibe to it.
I would recommend for everyone, after you've listened to the podcast, go on YouTube. It's not up on his feed anymore, but there's a YouTube version of it. And Mark Maron, who I most podcast listeners would know, did a WTF with Ron Howard, sort of spanning his entire career. And you can't think of a nicer guy. He's just such a positive, just like cool, well-adjusted child star come movie mogul. And I'm really enjoying his, you know, all the photos and stuff like that he's putting out. It is put out with such the right sort of
tone,
fun-loving tone. Yeah. And you know, I've heard, you know, various different things about, you know, the state of the film and having to rebuild sets and stuff, but from him he seems very just calm and having fun, and you know, there's only so much you can glean from, you know, a tweet every couple of days, but you know, it's been really cool and sort of setting a good example for the way to pump out harmless bits of information for, you know, Star Wars films to come. Because I love seeing, you know, one of my earliest memories in life is getting a Return of the Jedi sort of poster quiz book. And I'd look at the pictures without context of knowing where they were in the film or what that Gamorrean guard was doing under the red roof. And it was really fun just to go, I don't know, like trying to work out where this would be and, you know, being totally wrong. Like, so showing these little scenes that it isn't all gathered together in a trailer, but just spreading them out. Like, we just had, like, when, like, with Rogue One, with that weird old man that went up to the Bacta tank. And we just had so much fun trying to work out who that was and who was in the tank and stuff. Like that stuff's, I don't know, that's the fun stuff about being a Star Wars fan leading up to a film, is just making all these guesses and you know, and totally sort of tongue in cheek knowing I'm probably going to be really wrong. Like, who did guess it was just going to be an old man? What a boring guess that would be.
Well, in a sit-down interview this week on the ABC News program Popcorn with Peter Travers, John Boyega, while promoting his upcoming film Detroit, talked Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. Boyega, who plays Finn in The Force Awakens, as well as in the upcoming film The Last Jedi, says that he and Fisher filmed a lot of scenes together in The Last Jedi. Boyega said that over time he was able to erode the gloss and the glamour and get to know Carrie Fisher as a person and enjoy her company on set. He says he was in Nigeria with his family when he learned of Fisher's passing. He said it felt strange that he, the cast, and people around the world went silent for a bit, like a dim light. But Boyega says the Last Jedi sends her off in a very amazing way. He believes that she is kept alive in this franchise and that that's the beauty of it. She lives forever in a sense. I have a link to the interview conversation about Carrie Fisher on Popcorn with Peter Travers on Twitter at Draftline.
A lovely sentiment. I mean, we're going to hear a lot about that, I'm sure, as the film comes out. And it'll be interesting as history goes on if we do find out what was sort of done to honor her more efficiently after the news of her death. I mean, I think they pretty much said they haven't changed the film or the structure of the film. So if it is a fitting ending to her as a character on screen, then how lovely and poignant.
Right. I like that they didn't go back and redo anything after her death, because yes. Let the story be the story and figure something out later on for that. And I like that he seems to indicate that she doesn't end up like she's still alive in the saga. And but we still, you know, didn't give anything away. So I you know, John Boyega seems to be not only a terrific actor, but just a really good soul. And nice. The more I hear from him, the more I like him as a person.
It's going to be so strange to watch the film, I think. Like, it's going to be... Like, I'm interested in how we deal with it and stuff, because, you know, obviously with the D23, the behind-the-scenes clip, it was sort of edited in a way to sort of pull on your heartstrings towards the end. And, you know, they're there to be pulled. And, you know, we all sort of, as Star Wars fans, went through this, you know, quite cathartic group mourning. We all, you know, whether we had come into contact with Carrie or not, you know, she meant a lot to us, you know, and I think it caught a lot of us by surprise at the same time. And, you know, to have her up on the big screen, you know, while watching a new Star Wars film, it's like... Yeah, it's going to be, like, interesting to see how, as humans and as Star Wars fans, we react to that. And it's definitely going to make opening night a lot more emotional, I think.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who saw Rogue One the day after Carrie Fisher died, and she didn't know about the cameo at the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hit her twice as hard.
And I've told this before, but when I left the theater after seeing it the third time, I believe, I got in the car and Deanna texted me and said, Debbie Reynolds died. And, of course, I just felt like very emotional seeing the Leia cameo, and then you have that. So, obviously, they've got a lot of passionate, dedicated Star Wars fans who you know, mourn the loss of Carrie Fisher. And we get to see her on screen. I think it's going to be really going to grab people, as we've been saying. And I also hope that it will give people a sense of closure and peace.
Mm. I'm so glad for everyone at Lucasfilm and that it happened not like a month before Rogue One came out. So they didn't have to have that question of what to do at the end, like whether to change it or not. I just, like, that is just such a... Like a horrible situation to be put in. So I'm glad, you know, that the cameo at the end was very poignant. But I'm just glad it didn't have that thing where it was like, we've got a month and they had to decide whether to leave it in or not. It just, I don't know. You don't wish those sort of things on on anyone.
No, it serves the story, and that's great. Tom, thank you as always for sharing the news with us, my friend.
Absolutely. Always happy to do it. And Steele, good to talk to you. And Jeff, as always,
yeah,
great
my
talking
pleasure.
With you. And we'll catch you with news next week.
Sounds good.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look at Mike Audette's recent blog, When Is It Too Much? This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. For this coffee chat, sometimes you want to make sure that you cover something that I think is thought-provoking and worth discussion and analysis. And since we're all here having a cup of coffee together, I think this is a good one. Mike Audet, one of our CWK bloggers, he made a post that's very similar to something that is an ongoing series that Jeff is doing for the site, which I absolutely love, by the way, Jeff.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And this is called When Is It Too Much? And it's basically Mike sitting back and explaining the challenges of being a Star Wars fan these days. And clearly, if you're listening to this show or any of our podcasts, if you follow Star Wars on social media and interact and engage with other Star Wars fans, then you understand this, because there's books, there's comics, there's toys, there's collectibles, there's movies, there's video games, there's a lot that you can have. So we're going to break it down into, his first point is, do I want to see, read, watch it all? And the second point is the social media storm. So let's talk about, do I want to see, read, and watch it all? What do you guys do as consumers of Star Wars and super fans? How do you digest Star Wars and make sure that it's not something where you need a Star Wars antacid?
It's weird you say about super fans. I was in an Uber the other day, and Star Wars sort of came up, and I sort of mentioned something. And he goes, "Oh, so do you like do you like follow what happens, you know, the current Star Wars?" And I sort of went, "Yeah, you might say."
That's anytime I have a pizza delivered or any food delivered to my apartment, when I open the door, the delivery person always comments on everything on the wall. "Is that a bunch of Star Wars stuff?" "Yeah." "Is that like old Star Wars stuff?" "Yeah."
It's when
you still got the boxes? Same conversation every time.
Whenever I have new students, they always, like, once in a while I'll have a student that will say, he'll look at me and he'll hear, "Oh, this is the guy that teaches about Star Wars sometimes." And so once in a while I'll get somebody who'll try to stump me in the middle of class with like some sort of Star Wars question or trivia, and I just kind of look at him like, "Isn't that cute? Go get a drink of water, kiddo. Just, you know I'm grading you, right?"
Go ahead. I couldn't imagine what it's like to have like a school teacher that was into Star Wars. I hope the kids that go to your school appreciate how cool that is. I never had that at all. But as far as how I take in the media, I don't want to brag, but I do go see the film on opening night, quite often in Australia, so I see it 2 days before everyone in America, although this year might be a little bit different. But I try to keep up on the comics. I'm not that good at it. And the books, I'm on delay. So I don't really put too much pressure on myself to, you know, like I sometimes, like, these books will come out. Like, we just had the one that just came out last week and people are already posting their reviews. Yes. And I'm like, wow, you really crushed reading the book. And putting up, you know, so many podcasts that I do, like, that takes so much time that I sort of can't dedicate you know, too much immediate time between, you know, to read the novel. And quite often, if I get in the mood, the audiobook is how I'll do it. If I've got like a bunch of long drives or something, I don't find listening to the audiobook that good when I'm working on stuff because my brain is, it's thinking on two things. Whereas if I'm listening to a podcast, I find I can concentrate on, you know, the Photoshop or whatever I'm doing as well as listening to the conversation. But the book, sometimes I tend to drift off. So I sort of need to have that dedicated book time. And also if the book is red hot, that becomes a lot easier. Like the Ahsoka book for some, I really like couldn't wait to get back to that one. And also Lost Stars, I really loved. And Catalyst was good as well. With the Aftermath series, I started slow, and in the last book I was really behind the characters and their perils and stuff. So I try to keep up on all the books and the comics, but I don't like put the pressure on to do it like same day. And as for video games, it's no can do. I'd feel too guilty that I haven't put out podcasts while I was shooting Imperials or Rebels.
And, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat with Steel there. You know, I'm so busy creating content that I don't have a whole lot of time to ingest other content, so I have to be very selective about it. But you know, you mentioned my blog. I did write one with a similar topic a few months ago, and mine was titled "Too Much Is Not Enough." And it's mine was more about curbing my collection, like we just talked about with space and everything. But when it comes to input from, you know, social media, information coming in, I find that, you know, I mentioned earlier that I have so much Star Wars coming on my feed that I have to just ignore most of it, because a lot of it is just stuff, you know, people speculating. I don't like speculation, or people dissecting every little moment of every little thing that comes out. And to me, that just sort of steals the joy from it. Going frame by frame in a trailer to find every single clue you can find about what the movie's going to be just takes the magic out of everything for me. And I don't understand why anybody likes to do it, but if you like to do it, more power to you, do your thing. It's just not my thing. And I find that there's so much discussion going on that I run out of things to say.
I don't mind the, I like the speculation and do you know what I mean? Like the freeze framing and seeing what's in the background. I heard a friend said to me that with the speculation, they get to like enjoy the film a year before everyone else does. And I kind of like that a little bit. As far as spoilers go, I never want to find out what happens in the last third of the film. I'd like it if all that could be kept under wraps. But yeah, I kind of am a bit different in that I enjoy all that sort of discussion and speculation and that sort of thing. But the interesting thing about Star Wars and the way it's grown is in doing my podcast, interviewing sort of hundreds of people about it, is that we all watch these same films and then relate to those films in these really different ways, whether it is speculation or making costumes or, you know, making a song about it or like all three of us do, making podcasts. And I guess that's the credit, you know, to the universe is that George Lucas created, is that it does spawn fandom of so many different types, like, you know, figure customization, you know, all that stuff. I kind of like, I guess, the discussion part of it and the interaction, that would be one of my favorite parts, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those. I'm kidding.
No,
I'm sure you said each to their own in the middle of your thing. So
I think I did.
I'm going to hold you to that. You know, if only we were recording this conversation.
Yeah. If only for posterity of as much as anything. For me, the consumption of Star Wars is sort of multifaceted because the fanboy in me wants to be on top of things because I know that I like talking about it and I like being up to date on things, because when I run into students or friends or family who say, hey, can you explain this thing? I don't really understand what's going on. And you like Star Wars, don't you? I do. And I explain, you know, help them just kind of fill in gaps. And I like being a fountain of knowledge. I guess that's part of the educator in me. But the podcaster in me, much like you two gentlemen, I get so much stuff, and there are times when it feels like homework. Now, I love homework. I spend a lot of time in college, and I also give a lot of homework and grade a lot of homework, so I like that. But there are times when it's tricky. I'll say this. I love reading, and it seems like since this show started, I think I've maybe read 2 books that were not Star Wars related, and I miss reading things that don't have lightsabers or the Force in them. And I absolutely love this stuff, but it would be, I almost wish, there's that thing that people have worried about where we're going to get oversaturated. I don't think we're oversaturated with Star Wars. I absolutely love what's going on, and I love that Star Wars is very much in the zeitgeist of popular culture. But I have noticed that my level of excitement for Rogue One and even The Last Jedi is just nowhere near what it was like for The Force Awakens. And I understand that's because of the 30 plus years of waiting to see what happens after Return of the Jedi, and that can't be duplicated. But it's definitely something that is on my radar, not something that I'm concerned with, but it's definitely something that I know is there.
And yeah, I was going to say, I think you're right. That's one thing that's been a struggle for me, is making time for all of the other things in my life that I'm interested in when I'm trying so hard to keep up with everything Star Wars, and feeling like, and that was the point of Mike's blog, which was a great read, by the way. So if you haven't read it, by all means, go take a look at it, was about feeling, it was one thing I took away from it, was feeling like you are beholden to someone to follow everything. And like, you're missing out if you don't, and that pressure to basically defend your fandom by knowing everything about everything. And I think it's something that we all have to keep in mind, that just because I'm not like Steele and I'm not going frame by frame through a trailer or a teaser, doesn't mean I'm any less of a fan than him. My fandom is just different. And that makes me enjoy it more, whereas him going frame by frame helps him enjoy it more. And so I think we all just have to figure out that one size doesn't fit all.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And as far as like the whole, you know, petty debate about who's a bigger fan or whatever, if you're buying a ticket to go see Star Wars, you're probably a Star Wars fan. Exactly. And I love finding out how people that have no knowledge of all the, you know, the film production and the backstory, how they relate to Star Wars. I took a friend of mine. I had two rare friends in my life that had never seen Star Wars. And there were people that my same age, we get along really well, both, you know, funny guys. And I took one of them to see Rogue One as his first Star Wars film.
Oh, wow.
And we did a podcast about it, and it was just fascinating to ask him, you know, how he found that, like if he could work out what was going on, if he had interest to find out what happened afterwards and stuff like that. So if, like, you know, for someone that, if I enjoy having a conversation with someone that's seen one Star Wars film once about Star Wars, then, you know, anyone in that gamut that's going to, you know, talk to me in a level-headed way and can articulate their opinions rather than like, you know, that sucks or that's great. I, you know, to me, they're a Star Wars fan, and I'm, you know, more than happy to interact with them. I was at this wedding in Ohio on the weekend, and somehow the word got out, and I had several people come up to me just like, are you the Star Wars guy from Australia? And I'm like, yes, I am. And you know, and just, you know, having great chats about, you know, what they like about Star Wars and stuff. Because I think our fandom and what we like about the films reflects upon us. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize it. And in talking about Star Wars and our influences for a few years, I've sort of worked out why I like certain characters and certain scenes in the film, how it relates to my life. And, you know, to do that, you know, whether you do freeze frame or you just, you know, I've got other friends that are super into Star Wars and they won't watch a trailer until the opening night. I couldn't do that because that amount of input on opening night, like if I wasn't pre-prepared for Porg and I got hit with Porg, like I might explode in the cinema. And that's gonna cut down on my Porg enjoyment.
A Porgasm?
And there you go. You've been waiting all night for it, folks.
And then the question strikes me, do I edit that out?
You can leave that in. But the one time I do find it a bit overwhelming is on the Force Friday type event when they bring out, you know, 8 really cool books, whether they're yes, fiction or making of and stuff. That's when it's sort of, you know, you don't get the full excitement and you don't get to sort of really juice each book for all it's worth.
Right. When the last three Harry Potter, no, the last two Harry Potter books came out, I was working at Barnes & Noble just to make a little side cash, and I felt like I had to read it the day it was released because not only would all my students be talking about it, but everybody who came in, like, I swear I sold that copies, I mean, hundreds of copies of that book, and 7 hours later when we opened the store in the morning, there were people coming up to me saying, I've read it 5 times already. I'm like, okay, just that's cool.
What?
I'm glad that you, well, I'm using hyperbole. But, but still, I mean, it's like, I get that. And that's why you have to be tricky navigating social media. And honestly, at least on my feeds, everybody's been great. No one has spoiled anything for me about something I haven't been able to finish yet. But I agree with you, Steele. Like, on Force Friday, you know, between Disney and Del Rey and DK, so many books come out and you want to read them all, but it's challenging because you don't want to rush through because you want to just kind of take in and drink in the experience. But there's a part of you that feels like, oh, I got to get through this because I want to know what's going to happen. I mean, I'll be honest, some of the things for The Force Awakens, some of those Road to the Force Awakens books, I didn't get to finish until after I saw the film because there's just no time.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, and if you remember, you know, back in the 90s when, you know, there were so few, you know, mm-hmm. published books and stuff, and each one that came out was just like this amazing event. I remember the Star Wars, what would it have been? The Star Wars...
the Thrawn trilogy, that was the...
Oh, that was crazy because I remember seeing a mobile in a bookshop and just like it was of C-3PO and R2-D2 and I just couldn't believe there was – why is there Star Wars in a shop? Like how is that – I remember going into the – like, you know, all the sci-fi books are in the corner and just like going, oh, my God, it's a Star Wars book. And just the thrill that there was going to be a story after Return of the Jedi. And then, you know, there was no internet, so you didn't know when the next book was going to come out. And that made me a very annoying customer because I'd be going in, you got it? You got it yet? You got it? You got it? You got it? But, yeah, like each Star Wars book that would come out, you'd really – you just milk it. And I feel like I know so much more about the knowledge of like 90s and back Star Wars than now because I would just reread those books because there was so few ways to sort of take in your Star Wars fandom back then. So I would just like constantly read those 3 Starlog magazines that had the fold out maps of like Tatooine and stuff like that, just over and over. Like it was good fun.
It is ironic, isn't it? When we spent so much time between the end of 1983 and about 1994 wanting to get our hands on stuff. And now it's everywhere. Again, a really great problem to have. We're going to go ahead and take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, the very best comic book Star Wars podcast out there, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Gentlemen, thank you so much for having a cup of coffee with us. Steele, where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
If you are on Twitter, it is at Steele Wars, which is spelled S-T-E-E-L-E. And then Wars, W-A-R-S. The website is steelwars.com, and I do a couple of weekly Star Wars podcasts each week, one of which is a call-in show where we go live and you guys can either through Skype or through your phone, you can actually call in. It's like talkback radio for Star Wars fans. It's super fun and you never know what's going to happen on it next. And the more traditional Steel Wars episodes are like interview episodes where we sort of go into these deep, you know, often like hour, 90-minute conversations with Star Wars fans of note about their favorite parts of the saga and things that have inspired them. It's super fun. I guess maybe I'll direct you. We just put up one with Brian Young from Full of Sith. It's a really good 90-minute talk. So that's a good one to start with. I've had Leonard Maltin on the show. We just had one with Mike Quinn, who played Niamh Numb. And one of my favorites is always Nathan Hamill, who's Mark's son. And we're about the same age, and we sort of got into what it's like to be a big Star Wars fan when Luke Skywalker is your actual dad. And what it's like to go to your friend's house as a young kid and your friend's toothbrush is your dad. So that's a weird thing that many of us, I'm guessing, have not experienced.
That's great.
So, yeah, that's steelwars.com. And thank you so much for having us on the show, and congratulations for having, you know, such a high-end, long-running Star Wars podcast. It's I know the effort that goes into it, so I salute you for that.
Hey, thank you very much, my friend. Happy to have you on anytime. And Jeff McGee, where can people find you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Where can they not find me? I am on Twitter. I have two accounts. One, at Marvin Doug Media, is where we post about all of the podcasts over on Marvin Doug Media, Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, etc. I'm also on Twitter at the Jeff McGee, and that's where you find all of my witticisms, which are few and far between. And we're also on Facebook. Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff is on Facebook, and Comics with Kenobi is on Facebook. And we also have at Comics with Kenobi, there's no I in with, on Twitter as well. Matt Moore typically does most of the posting for that, my co-host. And that show comes out once a month, usually the first week of the month. And I'm also, you can also hear me on the Assembly of Geeks podcast feed on the Geek Directive, along with Scott Murray and Regina Davis. And that's out once a week on Tuesdays as well. So no shortage of my voice.
And we are all better off for having more of Steele and Jeff on the interweb. So thank you again, gentlemen. I'll have links to all these things in the show notes. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.